This episode of The Crunch Zone is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Cardinal basketball when you can't be at the game. For a buy one, get one free entree, text CRUNCH to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
You are now listening to The Crunch Zone, broadcasting live from Yum Arena. We've got a bunch of interviews today. We've got Bobby Petrino getting ready to kick off spring game. It's near. We've got tons of interviews with from the senior day of men's basketball. And we've got a little bit of talk on the AAC tournament as Cardinals close out the UConn Huskies in a big way. It's The Crunch Zone. It's coming at you right now.
Topic of the week.
Folks, we've got a lot of interviews, so I'm not going to sit here and blabber and make this any longer than it's going to be. We're real excited with the interviews that we got. But just a quick touch on the 2014 men's basketball bracket for the AAC. Louisville lost a coin toss because they were in a tie with Cincinnati for first place. And the levels of tie-breaking that they did, they continued to tie. So they did a coin toss after the senior game against UConn. Louisville lost. They're the 2 seed. And as it turns out, that's not a bad thing because Cincinnati, as we know, is a tough team. They're on the other side of the bracket. Memphis is obviously playing in Memphis for this conference tournament, beat the Cardinals twice. They're on the other side of the bracket. UConn might want to exact some revenge on Louisville after what they did to them this year. They're on the other side of the bracket. So Louisville's side, we've got SMU and we've got Chicken Knowles in Houston to worry about. But in the first round, Louisville will play the winner of South Florida and Rutgers, neither of which I think most Card fans or Card players will be concerned with as long as they're focusing. That game will be on 3 o'clock Thursday, March 13th. And then that'll head to the semifinal matchup with potentially SMU or Houston on Friday at 7 p.m. Game 1, so the quarterfinal game 3 p.m. Thursday, is going to be on ESPNU. And then on the semifinals for Friday, if the Cards win, it'll be 7 p.m. on ESPN2. So they keep graduating up the network chain. And if they were to get to the finals, that'll be 6 o'clock on Saturday, kind of a bizarre time. But that's going to be on the parent network, ESPN. And we'll see what happens with the Cards, because right now with the victories that they have over many ranked teams in the last 8 games, they're climbing up that NCAA seed ladder, and we'd like to keep this momentum going. But let's go straight to the interviews. Let's start with Bobby Petrino talking spring ball.
All right, I guess we're having a press conference today because when we come back from spring break, obviously that Monday we have our senior day for all the guys that played last year, and we'll have a number of NFL teams and GMs and head coaches there. And so we wanted just to do it today and talk about spring ball and what we've been doing leading up to this point, actually. I'm very impressed with our staff. I'm excited about the way we've been working offensively. You know, all of us on offense have been together before, have been in this offense, and we really have a good understanding of what we want to do. But we're going through it point to point just so we make sure that everybody's on the same page. It's been kind of fun because Garrick, you know, had been gone for a couple years, and Coach K been out of the offense for a couple years. So to see how they used aspects of it, how they tinkered with it a little bit, and some of those are good things, and some of them were like, no, we're not doing it that way. But it's been fun in the meetings. And then defensively, I'm very impressed with Todd Grantham, our defensive coordinator. He knows exactly the package that we're going to run. All details of it. I think that's what's exciting for me. He knows the front, the linebackers, the secondary, and has a great understanding of everything that we want to do on defense. It's been kind of a learning experience for myself and our offensive staff, just learning the new language and terms and, you know, a lot of the same things that we'll see, but we call them different. So we have to make sure we're on the same page for practice and what we want to see in practice. So there's been a lot of work there, but it's been extremely fun. The other thing we've worked hard on is to catch up in recruiting. You know, when you're new, it's not only last year's signing class, but you don't know all the juniors and sophomores out there. yet. So our guys have been doing a great job of that. We've taken over this off season. Every Wednesday has been nothing but recruiting. I think our coaches have done a great job. We're going after the best players in the country. We're not going to be shy about that. And just the other day, we had over 60 guys on Wednesday call us and talk to our coaches, and that's a good thing. We'll probably change that date here during spring ball and make it. I haven't decided yet to either make that on Monday or Thursday. I'll probably do Monday because Thursday will be a day in between practices. But we'll still dedicate one day where it's strictly nothing but recruiting so we can make sure that we're really prepared when we go out and start on the road in spring. It's been fun to work with the players, to get off the road from recruiting and be in the weight room, watch them lift, go over in the Traeger Center and work on our quickness drills and some conditioning and change of direction. I'm impressed with the players. They've got a great work ethic. They've got good attitudes. We've got good leadership from within the team. So it'll be fun to move on to the next phase, which will be practice. What were really our objectives for spring ball, number one will be to really teach and learn the new schemes. You know, it's a great challenge for our coaches to teach everything, and our players have to learn and really start to understand what the schemes are that we're going to use. Next thing that we'll do is work extremely hard on our technique and fundamentals. That's always been really important to me. I think as a college football player, and particularly playing at this level and moving into this conference, you're working to become an expert at what you do. So they have to come out every day and work hard on their technique and really understand it and then get better on it. Third thing I'm going to be excited to see is see how they compete. You know, we'll put them in a number of situations where it becomes competitive. So we work hard on the teaching part, and they understand what teaching drills are. But at some point in spring ball, it becomes testing. And then we get to see their competitive spirit and see the competition. And that's one of the funnest things about spring football is you're not only competing against the other side of the ball, offense versus defense, defense versus offense, but you're competing to start. You're competing to take somebody's job or competing to keep your job. So as much competition that we can have, the better that we'll be. The next thing that we're looking at is going to see how they react to adversity, how they react to, you know, pressure and what type of attitude they're going to have under pressure. That's always been real important to me is how our attitude is going to be under pressure. And we might have to create some of that. You know, you have to create some of that through spring practice and put players in a position where they're challenged and there's some adversity created and then see how they react. And I think that's part of coming together as a team is to see how guys react to pressure and adversity and how we handle it as a team. And then, you know, the last thing is just to have improvement, you know, go out each day and get better at what we're doing. There's a number of times in our spring ball that you think you're going to put in all of this offense and defense. And then at some point you just say, okay, we got enough in right now. Let's work hard and get better. But our plans will be to install the offense and defense in the first 7 days and then come back after that and do it again in the last 7 days of spring ball. So it'll be fun. I can't wait to get out on the field and see how we do. With that, I'll just open up for questions. I think it's a talented group. You know, we have some talent and we have some places and some positions where, you know, we have to grow and get better. But overall, coming back, I think it's a talented group. You know, offensive line-wise, when you see the three seniors that are coming back and that's exciting. But the young guys have to get better. You know, I'm a little concerned about our depth on the offensive front. Obviously, the receiving core and the running backs and tight ends are talented. Don't feel like we have enough tight ends right now, so we're working hard making sure the two new tight ends coming in are learning the offense right now. You know, right now where they're sitting at home, we're on the phone with them weekly and going through things and making sure they're ready with some understanding of our terminology, formations, motions before they ever get here. And then, you know, we all know the quarterback's going to be a big deal. You know, how are we going to perform at quarterback? Who's it going to be? And, you know, that'll be fun to see how all that plays out. Defensively, I'm impressed with our linebacker group. And as we transition to a three-down front, you know, in certain situations, and a four-down front, I think our outside backers should be a strength for us because they're guys that, you know, can also play the defensive ends when you're in a four-down front. And they have size, length, and they can rush the passer. So, you know, that'll be one of our strengths. And then our corner. So we'll start out, we'll be good on the edges, and then we'll have to develop, you know, our inside core of our defense. When you lose the safeties and defensive linemen that you lose, there's some work to be done to really build that inside core.
In the testing the last 5 speed?
I think we have good speed. You know, it's probably a little faster when you put them on the track, you let them wear spikes and dress up for it. But all the testing part is to give us an understanding of where we're at, what we need to recruit, and it builds confidence in the players. So I would expect when we come back and test again in July that we'll do a much better job in the bench and cleans because some of the technique we're teaching is a little bit different. But I am excited about the speed we have.
Will you try and make a quarterback decision in the spring, or are you going to wait until the fall?
Oh, no, I won't make it in the spring. We'll know who comes out of spring number one. But, yeah, I've always tried to treat the quarterback just like any other position. You know, there's going to be competition. There's going to be a depth chart set. And they get to go out each day and prove themselves where they belong on the depth chart. One of the things when I worked for Bruce Snyder, a guy I respected tremendously, he was the head coach at Arizona State. He's passed away now. But he used to always tell me, don't make a decision until you have to. So we have to make one by the September 1. And a lot of times you like to do it 2 weeks prior to the opening game. I mean, that would be ideal for me, is we have 2 weeks prior to the opening game. We know who our starting quarterback is. But you never know. Might take care of itself before that. Talk about the quarterbacks? Oh, they've been impressive. You know, when you look at Kyle, he's real intelligent. He really understands the game. Got to see him throw a football. Will Gardner showed his competitiveness and the athleticism that he has. I mean, his numbers on testing were unbelievable to me. He ran under a 4.6. I think he benched 330. He cleaned, you know, really, really good. It would have been one of those deals where if he was going to the combine, his stock went way up, you know, because his stock went way up in the testing for us as coaches. Just by his competitiveness and his athleticism, and I had no idea he could run like that. And then, you know, Brett Nelson's a guy that I've been impressed with simply because he knows the game. He's very, very mature, and he works hard. You know, all three of them work extremely hard. And then, you know, we'll add Reggie to the mix in the fall. And then Tyler Ferguson will come in, and Tyler has to sit for a year. But he'll certainly add a lot to the meeting room and his knowledge and experience and game planning and preparing for a game.
How much time did you spend watching film from last year of the players?
A lot. You know, we try to do is watch some of the overall games, and then we make a highlight tape of each guy. So you take and you say, okay, make me 20 of his best plays and give me 6 of his worst plays. You know, so you evaluate where they're at. And I've always tried to emphasize the positives over the negatives, but you do need to see some of the plays where he didn't do very well.
Can you, watching that, did you form an opinion, this guy who's got NFL experience, on Teddy?
Well, I wasn't watching Teddy. No, he's not playing for me, so I was watching for the guys that, you know, were trying to know. Oh, no, I saw Teddy a lot. You know, over the years, I've watched every Louisville game I could on TV, so I'm very impressed with him. You know, his ability to make plays, how quickly he gets the ball out of his hand. He can throw the drop back game. He can move and throw the ball on the run, and just the way, you know, he leads and competes. You know, when you look at the Cincinnati game, and the way he won that game, you know, that's a heck of a job.
For NFL guys that are looking for quarterbacks, what are they looking for now? Is it depending on the style of offense, or is it more the run and shoot guy? How does Teddy fit into some of those
things? How many teams are there in the NFL?
32.
Yeah, 32. They're probably all different, every one of them. You know, that's the thing I've never been able to figure out is, you know, where a guy's going to be drafted, what exactly they like, what they don't like. met a number of guys where I thought would be drafted really high, and they weren't. A couple guys I thought, you know, would go in the middle, and they go early. It takes one team. You know, that's what they say. It takes one team to really fall in love and you know, see exactly what they want in a young man. So, you know, I think when they all watch Teddy, they know how good a player he is.
Bobby, how do you think that Lorenzo will transition from a true defensive end to that outside linebacker?
Really well. You know, he did a lot of it last year, just didn't call him an outside linebacker. You know, he lined in a two-point stance. He dropped into coverage. He rushed out of it. He rushed in different spots out of it. It's really what he is, you know, when you look at the model of height, length, weight, speed, you know, if we could recruit every guy to match that spot, that is Lorenzo, that's exactly what we would want.
Coach, are you still waiting to see if you'll have another quarterback in the mix, or you pretty much decided if you can have
Steve? What do you mean another quarterback in the mix?
I know you can't talk about transfer names or
cards. Oh, yeah. You know, we're always recruiting. You know, every day we're recruiting and looking to improve our roster. We have a couple of initial scholarships left that we wanted to hold on to see what happens at all positions. So we were able to sign a couple of defensive linemen here lately that will really help our football team. So we'll just continue to recruit and see what happens.
Bobby, how much, I know you didn't coach the guys, but all the pro day that's coming the day before you start spring, how much does that help the program, just having all those NFL guys in town and 15 guys going through a pro day?
Well, I think it helps. Yeah, I think we need to take advantage of it. And, you know, Charlie did a great job in recruiting those guys. Those guys did a great job in performing. And we got a number of them that are in position to be drafted extremely high. I think it'll be exciting for our whole, you know, football team and our campus to, you know, it might be the highest numbers that have ever been in there, you know, to watch the guys work out. I've never been in favor of it. You know, I really haven't. I've always been in favor of staying with the system that we have. You know, it's kind of, to me, it's very hypocritical. Because in one hand we say, we don't get to go out there and see these guys. We don't get to know them enough. We don't get to be on the road enough. Head coaches should be on the road in spring so we can know the players better. And then on the other hand, we say we want an early signing period. So I've always been against the early signing, and I've always thought it benefited teams that have a majority of the players they signed in their home state or within distance. And that's one of our challenges. One of our biggest challenges is to get enough young men here in spring and summer to see our campus and you know, see the University of Louisville, the city of Louisville, to help our recruiting. So I would be in favor of extending it back and doing it at the end of February. I think that would be great because this was hard on us this year. You know, we cut out a whole weekend. We extended the dead period. So basically you had 3 weekends of visits instead of 4. And it really, I think, you know, affected a lot of the new staffs.
Here's your spring staff released a video that had them ringing the bell. Can you talk a little bit about that concept about, you know, personal records and they ring the bell? What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, my themes usually are established in the weight room, and we carry them over onto the field. And, you know, as a football player, you got all winter long, you go out and practice in the spring, you got all summer long, and you have the opportunity to go out and perform, you know, 12 regular season games, 13 for the conference championship, 14 for the first playoff, 15 for the national championship. So you get a chance to go out and perform and 15 times max in everything that you put everything into. So what we try to do is teach them to perform, what it is about performance. And that's what this past week was all about, was this is our first chance to test, and what you're trying to do is have your all-time best performance to date. And we want to have some fun, some energy, some excitement. So when they do that, they get their max, they jump up off the bench and run over and ring the bell and make sure everyone understands that they performed and did a great job. And it'll help carry us over into the season.
You mentioned the playoff. How much does that change, in your opinion, the college landscape?
Well, I learned how to count. one more game, you know, so that helps me a lot, a little bit. But I think it's, you know, it's exciting for me because you think about it, and if we win the ACC championship game, I think you're in the playoffs. You know, I can't see one scenario where you're not. Now, probably every four of the other five are saying the exact same thing, and they all probably believe it. You know, but I really believe that. I think if we do that, then we're in the playoffs. And then if you're in the playoffs, you have a chance to be a national champion. So. Well, we're well aware of it. It's, you know, something that was shocking and concerning. But you have to let the court system play out. And again, one of those things where you don't make a decision until you have to. Well, it was exciting, you know. I think it was exciting, and we just have to be there and compete. And, you know, the first thing is to get in it, get in the championship game, and then you have a chance to win it. So, you know, I think there's a lot of parity out there, and certainly the SEC, you know, had won it for a number of years in a row. But we might have to break all that streak.
You've had a lot of good wide receivers. Talk about Devontae, what you saw in film, what you've seen in the workouts and testing and that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's really impressive. I mean, he puts a smile on my face, and the thoughts of how we can use him and utilize him and get him the ball. I think he can run all the routes. He does a great job getting in and out of his break. He can catch the ball away from his body. He works hard, and he's been very coachable. You know, that was something that I was very happy to see. And obviously we know he can elevate and go up and catch the ball when it's high in the air. But, you know, he should have a great year for us. You know, he needs to learn and get better, just like everybody else, keep improving because somebody else is. So he needs to take a stride forward here in spring and next fall before our opening game. But, boy, he's talented, and he works hard.
And what about the running back? What have you seen in there? What kind of the expectation you get?
Yeah, I think it'll be very competitive. You know, and I've always believed you need to have running backs, not just one. You need to have a group of running backs. When you look at college football, the running backs, the safeties, and the linebackers take all the hits. You know, those are the collision players. And so you have to have a group of them. We were fortunate when I was here before to have a great group of running backs. And, you know, it's usually one guy gets hot and you give him the ball, and then if he gets dinged up a little bit and he's a step slower, you got somebody else there to step right in and take off. And, you know, and I think we, you know, we'll have that. So it's exciting.
How do you like having a blank slate of quarterbacks in a sense to kind of install your system?
Can you say that again?
How do you like kind of having a blank slate with the quarterbacks there to kind of install your system?
Well, I would rather have a guy that started for 3 years and won a couple championships and is up for the Heisman. Then I would sleep a lot better, you know. But it's a great challenge, you know, and it is just go coach. You know, we'll just go coach and work as hard as we can to see if we can get them better.
Bobby, when you got the job, you obviously had to hit the ground running. I mean, are you completely kind of settled back in with everything?
Yeah, we're still running. We're still going and working hard. It's been fun to get recruiting over with and then start working with our players here and really getting an understanding of, you know, where we're at and working hard with the staff and, you know, looking forward to next year's recruiting class. So that settled things down a little bit and put you back into kind of a groove.
Now that you've been on campus a couple months, what is the biggest change that you see about campus, about the university, about the football program?
Well, everything's changed a lot on campus. You know, it's amazing to me to think when I first came here and stood on one end of the stadium, it was all cement, and there was full of railroad ties and everything in the middle of the 50-yard line. And now you see how we're connected, completely connected to campus and, you know, all the new stadiums and facilities. It's amazing. But then we go out on campus and see how much they've done, you know, academically, and how much they've improved the living for the students, you know, it's amazing.
How important is spring football for special teams? Because that where you the Federal probably use a lot of the starters, a lot of guys who play a lot of things on the teams.
We do.
Tony the coordinator?
He is, yeah. Tony Grantham's the coordinator. And, you know, I've always thought that as a starter you should be on at least two special teams. So we try to find out where our guys are going to fit on the two special teams that are starters. And if you're, you know, a really good backup in your playing time, then you should be on three or four special teams. And then a young guy that's in there, you know, needs to contribute. But we'll focus mostly in spring on our punt team and our punt return team and a little bit on kickoff return. You know, we're not gonna spend a lot of time on kickoff coverage in spring, because that's really about getting to know everybody, and you know, it's harder to just practice kickoff coverage against yourself. So, those would be the three areas we hit the most.
As important as the tight end is in your offense, you mentioned, is that a position where you might move some people around?
There's really nobody to move around right now. You know, when you look at it, I'm really impressed with, you know, Gerald Christian. He tested it. Unbelievable. And that's coming off an injury. You know, he had post-season surgery on his knee. It wasn't a big issue, but it was cartilage. They went in, and so he missed a number of things and came back. And he's impressive. His video looks really good. I like Towbridge. You know, he's big, he's young, he's got to improve his strength, particularly his upper body strength. But he seems really smart and excited about the position. And then we'll use Brom as a kind of a guy that plays a swing position between a tight end, H-back, fullback. He's a guy that we'll wait and see how he does, but he's going to get a lot of opportunities in spring to see if he can get in the depth and contribute. You know, we haven't seen a lot of him. He's kind of been injured. When I first got back here, he had a surgery, kind of one of those sports hernia type surgeries. So he's been out, you know, mostly conditioning, lifting with the team, but conditioning on his own. So we really haven't seen a whole lot of him.
Talked about the offensive line. I think Jamon was one of the ones that appeared on the numbers that were out, that tested pretty good at 6'6 and 345. I mean, just talk about, were you surprised that he was as athletic at that size?
He's really talented. You know, he's got to lose some weight, and that's something we've talked to him about. And the good thing about that is you can get all of the NFL combine results, and you can sit down and look at them and say there's not one guy in that combine that weighed 345. So he does have an understanding of that. But his ability to run and his strength is very good. But we do want to get him lighter so he can play faster and longer.
The O-Line Grill is Cardinal Central for U of L basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and 2 domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the Crunch Zone and head there for lunch. And get a buy one, get one free entree by texting Crunch to 72727. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End, on the front line of Cardinal sports.
All right, now let's go to the men's senior day. We've got a ton of interviews post-game. The Cardinals whooped the UConn Huskies in a big way on CBS. Let's first go to Stephen Van Treese, and he'll be telling us a little bit about who throws the most elbows on the team.
Mr. Van Treese. He comes, he goes, he comes back. He gets 13 rebounds on senior night. He leads the game in rebounding, not just his team. What's it been for you? It's your last night here at Louisville. Could you have written a story like you have written here at the University of Louisville from even the fan love?
Oh, man, it's been crazy. Coming from Freedom Hall to here, I mean, it's been a hell of a ride, I mean, to say the least. I mean, I've been to 2 Final Fours, the championship. I've won 2 Big East championships. I mean, it's just been a great ride, and it's not over. I mean, people are all sad. I mean, get sad, but it's not over. We still got a lot of basketball to play, and I'm excited for this postseason. To sum it up, I mean, I've loved my career here, and the fans have been great. So, I mean, it's been awesome.
Do you have any stories you tell the guys like, man, when I was at Freedom Hall, the locker rooms were, like, terrible?
No, honestly, they weren't that bad, but I mean, this is the top of the line. I mean, it doesn't get better than anything here at the Young.
And what, obviously, rebounding's been going really well for you. Are you just, I mean, what's turned on here? Because you're doing great out there.
I'm starting to click now. I mean, Mango really does push me a lot in practice. He'll get a couple offensive rebounds every once in a while, and it makes me so mad. He does it. He holds me a lot in practice. But honestly, I've been clicking and doing the right things in the game and just using my body and all the techniques to get rebounds. I'm doing that very well right now.
Do you all get a little pushing and shoving, Mango, between you and Van Treese in practice?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It's fun. He's a lot more bigger than me. I'm a lot more quicker than him. So, you know, we go at it every day, and, you know, it gets us better for the game, you know. And
does he bribe you with candy or something? If you're getting a little too good, he's like, hey, dude, there's a Reese's over there.
Oh, nah, he just be like, yo, you be cool, I be cool. That's all. And, you know, we be all right with it.
Does he throw a lot of elbows in practice? Here's why I ask this. I was a short guard, and I got hit by every elbow back when I played when it was no good basketball players.
The person that throws the most elbows is Russ. When he's coming off the screen, he hits you with an elbow. When you're screening him, he hits you with an elbow. So it's, I don't know. He don't throw that much elbows. Akoi throws a little elbows. Shreds throws, because he's a physical player. He throws elbows.
Is he being nice because you're a physical player?
No, Mango's telling the truth, to be honest. I know I'm bigger than him, but he's very quick and I mean, like you said, Russ does throw a lot of elbows. You don't see it, but he does. He's a cheap guard from New York.
Thanks, guys.
Wichita's done a lot of good things for us over the last year. Let's hear from Tim Henderson.
Did you know you were going to start tonight? Because Rick does not always start seniors.
I did not know. You know, somebody might have told me. They're like, you know, you're going to start. I was like, I don't know if Coach B does that or not, but, you know, he gave me the opportunity, and I thank him for it because that was worth it.
And you've been doing really well out there for this team. I know at the beginning of the year you said you were focusing on some of your shooting, getting some of those stabilized. How do you see your role for the rest of this season coming in? Now you can say you've started and got the team rolling.
You know, just same. Like, my role is going to be how it's been over all the years. Just if somebody's in foul trouble or if coach needs to spark off the bench or if he needs me to rebound or whatever, I'm just going to do it what he wants me to do. So that's just how I've been.
And how was this for a senior night?
It's been awesome. It's been amazing. It was the best way to go out.
Montrez Harrell gets it done around the rim. So let's hear from Montrez Harrell.
Every chance that he has to get better, you know. He's also working after hours, you know, to get himself better. I mean, it just goes to show you that he don't have to score big numbers for us to win the game, you know. He could go out there, I think Russ probably had 10 points tonight, but he distributed the ball to 13 different people. I mean, he got 13 assists.
Sorry about that. That backwards lay-in, is that a dunk? Do you describe that as a dunk?
I don't know. I got to check the thing and see if they put it down as a dunk.
I think they did. They
did?
Yeah.
Hey, that's another one. I told you I'm getting close to 100. I'm getting close.
Do you want to see Memphis again?
Yes. I would love to. I would love to because the team that's, you know, going into your conference, you don't want to get swept by any team in your conference. I mean, that's just one thing you don't want to do. I mean, if you lose one at home, you want to try to get one on the road. I mean, but you just don't want to get swept by nobody in your conference. And, I mean, I give it down to them, hands down, that they, you know, they beat us both times. They swept us in our conference. But if we get a chance to match up with them, it's not saying it's a revenge game. It's, you know, just something that we already got lucky to ourselves. You know, it's something that we have to prove.
Thanks.
Your intensity level has been awesome the last few weeks, and you've been playing a lot more minutes. How are you feeling physically?
I feel great. You know, it's just about taking care of your body when you're off the court. And, you know, I do every little thing that I can to make sure that, you know, my body gets the exact rest. I eat right. I work out with Coach G to make sure I'm doing the right things. And I also spend extra time with Fred when I'm not in class, you know. So it's just about maintaining and working on your body off the court.
What could you say of all these seniors? Have they taught you anything that you apply to your daily ritual?
It taught me a lot, you know. They showed me a lot the way Coach B, how he wants things done and how he wants you to carry yourself as a person. And they also taught me, you know, that at this place, you know, is a special place to be, you know. As I said, I wasn't supposed to be here. I was supposed to be at Virginia Tech. But ever since I came into this program, you know, these guys treated me like family. And, you know, this has been a second home to me. You know, it's been a home away from home. And, you know, it's been a great place for me.
You're calling it very special, but I wouldn't say you're treating the rims very nice.
I don't. You know, I try to go in there, and when I go to dunk, I make a statement.
I think I remember you telling me your coach said, when you go for the dunk, make sure it stays in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do. When I go for a dunk, I mean, I dunk with authority and make sure that every dunk that I have that you will remember in some way. And I feel like I'm starting to make statements with my dunk.
Good luck next week.
Big Russ is in town with the rest of the family for senior day. So let's hear from Russ Smith's dad.
You know, to watch them come as kids, play each other and been around them, man, it was great, man. It's like a dream, man. I'm still sitting here, can't believe this 4 years went by quick. The one thing that I told him now, after this, you're going to be able to pay your own bills now, man. I'm tired. I'm paying your car, your cell phone, sending you money, but he deserved it. The one most thing that I preach, man, is being a student athlete. So I'm very big on that, man.
See him playing in the league?
Yes. It's in God's hands now. It's in his hands now. It's in the GM's hands now. You know, at the end of the day, what matters the most, I always told him since last year, I wanted to walk across that floor for senior day, man. And at the end of the day, get your degree. After that, I don't care what happens.
You look like you enjoyed it as much as anybody.
I do.
You were proud because of the journey?
Because of the journey, a lot of people doubted him. He wasn't a top recruit. Only two schools recruited him. You know, LaSalle and Houston. LaSalle was kicking down the door. LaSalle almost had him. I give heads up to them guys. Great guys.
Until Ralph Ward stepped in.
Yes, to Ralph Willer, and everything was history. You know, Rick known me since I was a kid.
Really?
So yeah. So. Just being in the city from New York, being around AAU Gaucho Ball, Jamal Mashburn is one of my friends, So it's one of them things. I never called Rick and said, hey, take a look at my son. I didn't want that because he has the both worlds. He's a student and he can play.
Thank you,
Vic. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yep. Finding Forrester,
didn't you? Yes. I did all the basketball stuff in there. Pretty much directed all the scenes, taught the guys how to play. The cutaway shots, with me.
You shot free throws what?
And Finding Forrester. The movie Finding Forrester.
Okay.
Gus Van Sant directed. You had Sean Connery in there tomorrow.
How was that?
It was a great experience because I'm a filmmaker. You know, I actually, the part that they gave to the kid, I actually auditioned for the part, and they offered me the other part to do the basketball consult. Guy Danny Wolf. I did a commercial for him when I was young, so it brought me on board.
Where did you play?
Played Malloy College, so Ivy League school. Then I went on and played in Africa and Tunisia.
When?
Did you play?
I played 2 years. Came back because Russ was being born, so you got to come back and introduce him to the game, And he fell in love. I didn't want to be selfish. Be over there 10, 15 years knowing I have children. I wanted to say, you know what, let me introduce it to him, see did he like it, and then we can take it from there. He loved it.
When did Russ started beating you?
Russ hasn't really beaten me. I was up here 2 weeks ago. We played full court. I guard him 94 feet. He was
played 1-on-1 full court.
Yeah, well, yeah, that. Yeah. We played all the time. We was cracking up. He shoot a lot better than me. I taught him how to shoot well. I wasn't a shooter. I was more of a bully on defense and more of a driving force to the basket.
What high school did you go to?
Boys and Girls High School. Okay. Yeah.
Bernard King.
Jefferson Pearl Washington.
It's the boys.
Yeah.
Right. He's a little bit older than you.
Yeah, a lot older. Yeah, probably about two.
What if I had told you 3 years ago that you got 13 assists on his senior night?
I wouldn't have been surprised because, like I was telling people, like a lot of people, thought he couldn't pass, and I just say, you know what, he passed better than he can go to the basket. People don't understand that. I know it's like tell people all the time. It's like building the machine and know what the machine could do. I know exactly what he can't post, so that's it. But everything else, he can do. So when I was hearing last year, scouts and GMs saying, "Oh, he can't pass," I just smiled. Said, "Oh my God, are you kidding me?" And look, he doubled in half his assists this year. Now what are you going to say now? What he took better shots this year. He got everybody involved in the team. He's just percentages up. He's more of a leader. What are you going to say now? Now you got a seasoned 4-year athlete.
Yeah, they said gain some weight, get better on assists to turnovers. He's done that. He's done that. Does anyone ever talk to you like we think he's doing better or any kind of feedback?
The word is around. He's got a lot better and this and that, which is good, but you still got guys who, it's a business. Guys still going to hate, going to say this. They scared to admit now that they was wrong. And that's the sad part about it, man. At the end of the day, these are kids, man. You got, hey, Pat, hey, you did a great job. I was wrong. There was one reporter in New York
who wrote since Russell was in high school. He wrote a blog last year. He said, you know what? I was wrong about Russ Smith, man. You know, and I respect that.
You think people that don't want to admit they're wrong, and that's why he's not moving up the
draft? Of course. But you know what? Like I told Russ from day one, nothing was ever given to us, and we're going to continue to take it.
That's a long...
Nothing. He was nothing. He wasn't a star. He wasn't none of that. And like I told him, you know, we from Brooklyn. We fight to round 30.
It's a long list of people.
Of course. Yeah. Appreciate it. That's why he go out there and say, oh, Dad, said, go out there and kill. Go out there and kill. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the support.
All right. Well, let's hear from the Cardinals' super sensation, Rusticulous Russ Smith.
The only thing that'll stop my trash from dunking is a timeout, and he still might dunk. So I'm just happy I play with a big man like that. It's an honor.
Russ, can you tell me what you imagined when you first came to Louisville? What did you think your experience was
going to
be?
Man, I didn't think I was going to play till, you know, my junior year. And if I play it, I didn't think I was going to play a lot. But I have a tendency to try and, you know, rewrite stories. And I've done a great job rewriting this one over.
Are you surprised how much Louisville fans love you?
You know what? I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not. I am surprised because I'm not. I play hard, and I give it my all, and I entertain. So if you hit all those three categories, hard work, effort, and entertain, there's nobody that cannot love you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's podcast of The Crunch Zone. Don't forget, you can check us out on the website, thecrunchzone.com. You can also set us up for immediate download on iTunes. Just search for The Crunch Zone. Or you can check us out on Louisville.am, which also covers a wide range of Louisville topics, not just Louisville sports. Big game on Thursday, 3 o'clock. Don't forget to tune in to ESPNU, 3 p.m. Cards will play the winner of Rutgers or USF. If they were to win, they move on to the semifinals on Friday at 7 p.m. on ESPN2. They'll play the winner of SMU in Houston. Big week as far as national seedings implications, so let's hope the Cards can keep the momentum going. Thanks again for joining us on this week's episode of The Cards.
Forever. I promise to rep the veal and nothing but the veal.